Usually, when we talk about a tax, it's right there on the receipt. You buy a coffee, you see the sales tax.
Right, it's visible.
Exactly. It's calculated and you know exactly who's paying it. Today, we're doing a deep dive into South Africa's 2004 National Environment Management Air Quality Act. We're looking at the legislation itself and some policy breakdowns to understand how a nation actually legally protects the air you breathe.
Because we're really unpacking an invisible lung tax here.
Yeah, a cost that isn't printed on a receipt, but is being paid every single day just by breathing.
Right. And the preamble of this act is actually incredibly blunt about that reality. I mean, it explicitly states that the massive social, economic, and environmental costs of air pollution fall heaviest on the poorest communities.
Wow, so they just say it right up front.
They really do. And it notes that these costs are almost never paid by the people actually causing the pollution. So it's a major philosophical shift, like acknowledging the air is no longer just a free dumping ground.
Okay, but it's one thing to write a nice philosophy in a preamble,
Oh.
I can say the sky is green, but how do you legally quantify invisible air so you can actually send a bill to a massive industrial polluter?
Well, you start by mapping the problem. The government establishes these strict ambient air quality standards. They deploy monitoring stations to measure specific concentrations of pollutants.
Like setting limits on specific chemicals.
Exactly. They monitor pollutants like ozone, sulfur dioxide, and PM10.
Right, PM10, those are the tiny toxic particles you can inhale.
Yeah, the really bad stuff. So if an area consistently exceeds those legal limits, it gets declared a priority area.
A priority area. Reading the breakdown, that sounds basically like an ICU for the atmosphere.
That is a perfect way to put it. Once a region hits that toxicity threshold, it triggers a mandatory multi-tiered government rescue plan. So national, provincial, and local governments are legally forced to immediately form a joint task force, pool their budgets, and create a legally binding timeline to cut local emissions.
See, I hear joint task force, and I immediately think of bureaucratic red tape. Like, if three levels of government have to coordinate, doesn't that just mean years of arguing while the air stays toxic?
Well, the law actually anticipates that political foot dragging. That's why the timeline is legally binding. And more importantly, it removes the biggest political incentive to stall.
Which is what, the fight for jobs.
Exactly. A desperate municipality might be tempted to lower its local air standards just to attract factories. But the act explicitly dictates that local municipalities can set their own air standards, but they can only be stricter than the national baseline.
Oh,
Yeah, never weaker.
that sets a really firm floor to stop a race to the bottom. But, a strict standard on paper doesn't physically stop a smokestack from smoking on a Tuesday at 2 p.m. What is the actual stick here?
The stick is the atmospheric emission license. Any facility emitting those listed pollutants has to get one, and they don't just hand them out permanently right away.
They don't.
No, initially, they are only granted a provisional license. They have to prove full physical compliance with the emissions limits for at least 6 months before they're even considered for a permanent license.
Okay, but you might be thinking, sure, threatening to pull a license or slapping a polluter with fines sounds great on paper. But do corporate directors actually care? Do they ever see the inside of a cell?
They definitely care about the wallet, and the law goes after it in a very specific way. We're talking up to 10 years in prison, sure, but the fines aren't just flat fees.
Right.
They are specifically calculated based on the exact amount of money the polluter saved by committing the offense.
Wait, really? That completely breaks the financial incentive to cut corners. You can't just budget for a fine if the penalty completely wipes out your dirty profit.
Exactly. And it goes a step further with the fit and proper person clause.
A background check.
Yeah. The licensing authority runs what is essentially a criminal background check for corporate polluters. They investigate whether a company director has a history of environmental offenses.
So it prevents bad actors from just dissolving a penalized company, starting a new one under a different name, and continuing to pollute.
You got it. It threatens their ability to legally do business anywhere in the country.
You know, what this deep dive really illustrates is that pollution isn't an inevitable byproduct of industry. It's a structural choice. This act is a tangible redistribution of health and accountability.
For sure. By legally shifting the invisible cost of pollution directly back to the polluters, the law shows exactly how a nation can engineer safeguards for its citizens' well-being.
Yeah. But there is one final piece of this puzzle I want to leave you to mull over. The Act features this fascinating section on transboundary air pollution.
Oh, right, the international aspect.
Exactly. It empowers the South African government to act if domestic air is harming another country. But, I mean, since wind respects absolutely no borders.
Can any nation truly secure its own air quality without eventually having to police its neighbors?
Right. If the receipt for that invisible lung tax blows across the border, who finally pays the bill?